What is up, everybody? My name is Olivia Guma, and I am your host for The College Experience. And this is just basically a podcast that I'm starting to talk about what it's like to be a student in college who does not live on campus. I have had probably what most would consider a pretty crazy ride to my freshman year, and I'm about 3 days away from finishing my freshman year of college, but it has not been an easy road for me whatsoever. To give sort of a backstory of how I wound up commuting to school and going to school at Long Island University, which is very close to where I live, and I'm able to drive there every single day, I basically got wrecked by the college admissions process. I know that sounds a little bit dramatic, but it's really true. When I was a senior in high school, I applied to 9 colleges. I got waitlisted at 4, and then I got rejected from 4 and into 1. The one college that I got into was Fairfield University up in Connecticut, and I was not happy about it. I never wanted to apply to Fairfield. My mom convinced me to apply there. It wasn't something that someplace that I ever saw myself going. And I just, wasn't happy about it. It was my quote-unquote safety school, even though now that I'm past the whole college admissions process, I understand that there's no such thing as a safety school, no such thing as a reach school, and no such thing as a target, because you honestly don't know what the colleges are going to be looking for that year. Because I thought that being an AP IB student, which means that I was in advanced placement classes and international baccalaureate classes, that I would get to have my pick of the mill when I applied to colleges, because I wasn't applying to Harvard or Yale or anything crazy like that. I was applying to schools with 45 to 55% acceptance rates. Even some, I think the lowest were 33, but I figured that I had great grades, I was a great student, I had great volunteer service. Why wouldn't I be accepted into college? But for me, that just wasn't the case. I didn't get into any of my top schools or anywhere that I thought I was gonna want to go. And I wound up at Fairfield. So in September of 2018, I moved into my freshman dorm. It was the hottest, most stressful day of my life, probably. Of course, everybody is sad, usually, if you like your family, on freshman move-in day, because it's a hard time where you have to say goodbye to your parents. And I had gotten all types of advice on how to say goodbye to my parents. It's the first time probably that you're going to be living away from home, and it's just overall really confusing. I remember I had one teacher in high school who said, don't look back when you get out of the car to say goodbye, just keep going. So that was in my head all day, that first day of college on September 3rd. I was like, don't look back, don't look back, don't look back. So when it came time to say goodbye to my parents, my dad could not help, God bless him, move into my dorm, because he was just so emotional about the fact that I was going to be leaving home. So when I finally got out of the car to leave, I said goodbye to everybody and I didn't look back. I knew that I was going to cry if I turned around, so I just kept walking straight. I got to my room and then I cried after they were gone. And then for the next 2.5 weeks, if I was even there, I was there for 13 days, I had the worst anxiety I've ever experienced in my whole entire life. I don't know what came over me. I don't know if, I've had anxiety my whole entire life, but I never knew that I would have anxiety to the extent that I did when I moved into college. And my goal for this podcast is not to make anybody fearful of moving away to college. It's just to share my experience, because I thought that my experience was so uncommon when I was going through it, and after taking the time that I did to kind of navigate what I actually wanted to do with my life, I learned that my experience is so much more common than I ever could have even imagined. It's just that nobody talks about it. So that's my whole thing with this podcast, is that I want to talk about my experience and my anxiety and how to deal with mental health when you're at college, because it's a very serious thing that I think that people should talk about, but sometimes to approach it in a very serious manner is very daunting for a lot of 18-year-olds. And that's why I think hearing about another 18-year-old's experience can be super beneficial. I knew that if I had someone like me to talk to when I was going through it, I would have felt so much less alone in the process. But anyway, to get back to it, I was at Fairfield for 13 days total. And in those 13 days, I literally dropped 12 pounds. I wasn't eating. because I was so nervous. Anything, this is like TMI, but anything that I ate would like go right through me. Like, I just couldn't keep any food down. I was trying to socialize as much as possible. I was having multiple panic attacks a day, literally starting at 7 a.m. when I would wake up for my 8 a.m. classes. I also had 8 a.m. classes 5 days, every single day of the week, which I feel like was a little bit overwhelming for me because I feel like I never got a break. When I had my last panic attack at the end of the night, I would wake up and start the process all over again the very next day. And it was just straight torture for me. I would be on the phone with my mom while she was at work, on the phone with my dad while he was at work, calling my sister, asking her if she had felt like this when she was in college. And she did have an interesting freshman year, but she was like strong enough and tough enough to stick it out because she felt like she did want to be at the college that she went to. But that's her story to tell, not mine. But I just had no ties to Fairfield University. There was nothing that was keeping me there. I didn't like my classes. I didn't like the people that I was meeting. I was trying so hard. The only time that I wasn't having panic attacks was when I was out socializing with people, but I was like not in my body, if that makes sense, because I was so tired from all the anxiety that I was having. So eventually it was coming up on like the 13th or 14th day there, and I had told my mom that I was gonna go seek help on campus for my anxiety because I felt like college campuses should probably have the necessary resources to help students deal with their anxiety, because if you're gonna be paying $60,000 a year for an institution times however many students are at that institution, you'd figure that they would be able to afford medical professionals. But when I went to go to the mental health offices at Fairfield University, they were so far away from the freshman dorms and they felt so isolating that it was like they wanted to keep mental health a secret. And that really bothered me because I wasn't ashamed of what was going on with me. I knew that I needed help and I knew that I had to take an initiative for my own life to seek help, but I didn't like the fact that it was so secretive on college campuses. I felt that it was so wrong to make kids feel like they had to be quiet about the problems that they were having. And on top of that, after I met with a psychologist, I found out that the school didn't even really have a psychiatrist on campus to help mandate the type of antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs that I would need to be put on to overcome this freshman anxiety. And I'm not saying that people probably can't get through the freshman anxiety without it. I mean, I think that people definitely can. It all just depends on the person. I just know that I already had grown up with such bad anxiety, and I knew that it was being made worse by college, and I knew that being put on medication was going to be necessary for me. And I already had a lot of experience with mental health problems in my family, and I knew that it was something that I would probably be more susceptible to, so I wasn't afraid or ashamed to be put on medication. It was just that the school just really didn't have the means to put me on education. They had a physician's assistant and a psychologist who would work together to regulate your drugs and stuff, but you only got something like 3 weeks of like free healthcare from the mental health part of campus, and then after that you had to pay full price, but you weren't even seeing an actual psychiatrist, so I couldn't understand why it was going to be so expensive. And from there, after I'll go to quote unquote therapy on campus, I would feel so much better after having talked to someone about what I was going through and why I was so sad. But then I would get back to my room, and as soon as I was alone again, I would just cry. And then I made the decision that I needed to go home. And I'm the type of person where once I make a decision, like, it has to happen. And it wasn't a decision that I came to lightly. It was a very scary decision because I knew that my parents, as soon as I moved home, would want me to be enrolled in another university. But I saw how fragile I was almost. And I think that my sister really saw it also because she was a big advocate for me taking the semester off. So once I moved home, my parents helped me to enroll in Long Island University for the fall semester of 2018, and I went there for about 3 days. And after those 3 days, my parents, my sister, and I all realized that there was no way that in the state that I was in could I finish a semester of college, and that my grades would be so terrible because I literally couldn't concentrate, I couldn't function, and I was already 2 weeks behind on their campus, that it would just be a giant mess for me. So as a family, we came to the decision that I would take the semester off college to better focus on my mental health. And in that fall semester, a lot of like really trippy stuff happened to me. I think I went to like 3 different psychologists, the first being one in New York City, because if you live on Long Island, you'll know that a lot of the best doctors are in New York City. But with the best doctors and the location of New York comes a very big price tag, and mental health care is not something that's really affordable, which is one of the other biggest shames. And I'm so blessed to have parents who take it extremely seriously and who are willing to pay for the care that I needed. But I was going like once a week and then once every 2 weeks to a psychiatrist that cost my parents like $700. And it just, the burden of that on top of not going to school made me feel kind of horrible. And also the fact that once I moved home and I wasn't going to school, I had no motivation, because the anxiety and then after I moved home, depression kind of took over my body, took over my system, and I had no control over it. And so I got placed on 2 different prescriptions, one to take as needed and then one to take every single day. I'm not going to say what they were because I don't feel comfortable with that right now, because I don't want people to think, oh, she took that, so I can take that and it's going to work for me, because prescriptions for mental health issues are so specific to what chemicals are off in your brain and how your body works. And I know this from firsthand experience, because after I stopped seeing my doctor in the city and I came out to Long Island to start seeing a doctor, they tried to switch my medication. And I had just honestly started feeling better on the medications that I was already on when they switched my medications. And once they tried to switch me, it was like the darkest, scariest 2 weeks of my life. I don't know why the medication worked so fast in my body or what kind of reaction I had to it, but I just, honest to God, have never been more depressed in my whole entire life, and I couldn't get out of bed again. I was crying all the time. Like, I wasn't in my body. It was that same experience I had had at college where I just didn't feel like myself. I was there, I was moving, but I wasn't me. And it was so hard, and I would literally like sit in my bed all day while my parents were at work, just waiting for them to come home. And I had this like one blanket, and it was like the only thing, like a kid, I don't know what happens when you get anxiety and depression, but for me, it was like kind of like I reverted to like childhood tendencies of like calming and self-soothing almost, where this one blanket that I had was the only thing that could calm me down. And I would literally wrap it around my body so tight, like the pressure on my system of wrapping the blanket would just calm me. And it had to be like over my head and everything. And I would just like walk around for like 16 hours a day like that. And then the rest of the time I was like sleeping. And I think that it was like really scary for my parents also, because to see your 18-year-old daughter go through something like this is horrible, because they almost felt like it was their fault for pushing me to go away to college, and I would have to remind them, like, hey, you didn't do this to me. Nobody did this to me. This is just, it's what happened. I'm gonna get past it. And almost having to remind them about the fact that it wasn't their fault and that it wasn't my fault either helped me in a sense to move past it, because I knew that one day, no matter if I wanted to or not, because I was on these antidepressants, I was gonna feel happy. I didn't know when that day would be. I don't remember even when that day was. It's just one day you wake up and you don't have that feeling anymore, and it's so crazy. The only negative side effect that I really had was that I gained a lot of weight because I wasn't doing anything, and because the only time that I really got out of the house that semester was when I would wake up. I would literally wake up at like 10:45 and I would brush my teeth every day. And then I'll go get, like, takeout food. And that was by, like, half an hour out of the house. That was my big adventure for the day. And it was, like, sad, but also it was the only time that I got out of the house. So I kind of associated getting out of the house with eating. And I wound up getting something like 25 or 30 pounds. I think it's something like 25, actually. But, like, that's besides the point. Like, weight is weight. I can lose it. I can change my lifestyle now that I'm happier and in a better place. And I have full control of my life. And so those first 4 or 5 months of the fall semester went on, and I wasn't in school. I was babysitting, but kind of like slowly getting back into it as parents were starting to hear that I was back in town, because I had told all my previous clients that I was going to be going away for college. So they didn't really know that I was going to be back. And I would only really babysit when I felt up to it. And then I would say by Christmas time, I was like definitely back to myself. Thanksgiving, I would say I was like pretty close. But the beginning of November was when they tried to switch me onto a different medication. That's when like it was really rocky. So November was kind of like an up and up again month, and December was really like top for me. And then I had to go see the doctor more as January rolled around, because January 22nd would be my first day of my freshman semester at Long Island University. And this was kind of like a three-peat for me, because this would be my first day of freshman year. I had my first day at Fairfield, I had my first day at Long Island University in the fall, and now I'd be having my first day of the spring semester, where I would finally get through a whole semester of college without anything bad happening to me. Thank God. And in January, I knew that I wanted to go out of that kind of rocky, dark time of my life with a bang. So I decided that I was going to go down to Florida, visit some family, and kind of just like get all like my vitamin D levels up and like all these happy feelings I could have before I went back to school. And my biggest thing was that I didn't want to be nervous on my first day. And I think that a lot of things that helped me through this time were that I made a YouTube channel, Olivia Guma, OliviaGuma, if you want to go subscribe over on YouTube. And basically my YouTube channel was just a place where I could talk to myself and post my videos and feel like I was doing something productive with my life during that semester off, because I think without posting YouTube videos and literally have nothing to do all day, I would have, like, I don't know what would have happened. I think that YouTube was a really big help in kind of getting my creative side back and getting my work ethic back a little bit, because I wanted to produce videos. I wanted to grow my subscriber count. Has it been a fast process? No. Have I made the success that I would like to see? No. Am I going to keep working at it because it's something that I really like doing? Yes. Is that the whole reason that I'm starting a podcast right now? Yes. Would I have ever started a YouTube channel if this bad stuff didn't happen to me? Probably most certainly not. Because the biggest thing that I learned in my semester off was confidence. And I know that that sounds crazy to have learned confidence while I was depressed, but being forced to do all these things by myself, I went to the doctors by myself, I took the train into the city by myself, I went and got food by myself, all these things that I could never do in the past because I didn't recognize it as anxiety that was holding me back from life, and now I was forced to do because there was no one around to hold my hand anymore. It was such an important growing period in my life, and I'm so thankful for it. And that, honest to God, sounds crazy, but it all led me to Long Island University and the education program there, where I got to observe a second grade classroom in my first semester of freshman year, whereas at Fairfield, not knocking their school at all, but I wouldn't have been in the classroom till like my senior year and then my fifth year where I got my master's. So this program at Long Island University has just been so helpful to me and my confidence and reassurance that this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I feel like my life purpose is, and I'm so happy to go to school and be on campus every single day. And is it weird being in college and living at your house? A little bit. Yeah, because you miss out on some of the social aspects of college, like the dorm and stuff like that. But if I really wanted to, I could live there. There's nothing against or nothing that says like you can't live there just because you live 15, 20 minutes away, or even probably most of our students are Long Island residents. So a lot of us just choose not to live there because it's cheaper to live at home. But if I wanted that college experience again, I could have it. But as of right now, at the end of my freshman year, I'm so much happier to come to my own space at the end of the day. I don't have to share a room with anybody. It's all my stuff. I'm familiar with everything. And it's just been so helpful to have my own space. So I feel like everybody's college experience gets off to a different start. Some people love their college and are so happy to go there. Some people thrive when they get to their college, and it's the best 4 years of their life. And I could not be happier for those people. I don't have any sort of like resentment that I didn't love my first college, and I'm not upset, or it didn't even like make me sad to see people who loved their college. I was just like, honest to God, happy for them that I was going through this and not somebody else, because I felt like I was strong enough and like I was being tested and that I would come out the other side stronger. And then there's some people like me who wind up in a place that they're not really happy with and have to do like a restart basically. And I think that nobody should really be ashamed of that. I don't think that there should be a stigma against transfer. I don't think that there should be a stigma against semester off or gap year. I think that a lot of what comes with semester off or gap year when people think about it is that the student is lazy and that they don't want to be in college and all this kind of like BS really about students that people don't even know. Like, you never know what's going on in someone else's life. And I think that this happening to me really opened my eyes to that, because I was one of those people who, when I heard of kids who used to go to my high school coming home after their freshman first semester, I'd be like, they couldn't even hold out for like the whole freshman year. Like, what is wrong with them? Like, that's such a joke. And then here I am coming home after 13 days or 12 days or whatever at my college. And it like just totally changed my perspective of what's going on in people's lives behind the scenes and how you literally never even know. But in my next episode of the podcast, I really want to get into kind of the social aspects of college when you live at your house versus when you live on campus. I do have some friends that live on campus, and I have some friends who live off campus. And I think that before I come and film my next podcast segment, that I'm going to talk to them about what it's like to live on campus versus what it's like to live off campus, and we'll just talk more about the college experience. I'll see you guys next time. Thank you guys for listening to The College Experience. I hope that you guys enjoyed my very first podcast. It is something different and creative that I was very interested in pursuing, and I'm very happy to be able to understand and know how to film a podcast or record a podcast. I'm so used to YouTube lingo now that I don't even know the podcast lingo, but I'll figure it out. I'll get there. And thanks for listening. And I don't even know. I guess I'm going to post these podcasts on Sundays. And yeah, that's it. That's the college experience. I'm Olivia Guma. Follow my Instagram to know when these podcasts go up. It is at It's Olivia Ann with no E on Instagram, or you can subscribe to my YouTube channel at Olivia. There's no at on YouTube. Wow, I'm really doing so good at this right now. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel, Olivia Guma, G-U-M-A, on YouTube, or my Instagram at itsolivia.ann. And I hope to have some of these listeners back on my next podcast. Thanks, guys.